we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado, it's the Weekend with Michael Brown. So glad to have you joining the program today. Text any question or comment to this number on your message app, 33103. Use the keywords Mike or Michael, either one. Go follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Michael Brown USA, at Michael Brown USA. So this past Sunday, the 25th, a 46-year-old man by the name of George Floyd died in custody of some cops in Minneapolis. That much we know. That's pretty much it. What is not widely admitted, at least not in polite society anyway, is that George Floyd's death was not a case of state-sponsored execution. But instead, according to all of the medical records, it was a tragic overdose amid an arrest. He died with a fatal dose of fentanyl in his system. He had an enlarged heart. He had methamphetamines in his blood. But despite all of that being in all of the medical records, it doesn't make any difference. For a certain ideological contingent, George Floyd was not just another man. George Floyd was a symbol. And symbols, unlike men, cannot die. In fact, symbols in modern American society become weaponized. So when you strip Floyd's death of any medical nuance, you know, I was just thinking to myself as I said the word nuance. Nuance is something else that's dead in our society. We don't seem to be able to nuance anything. It's either black or white. There's no gray. There's no in between. It's either left or right. There's no middle. There's no, oh, well, maybe a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. It's no longer a recipe. It's just a single ingredient. And it's your ingredient that you choose to the exclusion of all other ingredients. It's funny how just one single word in my notes, when I go back and look at it, sends me off on a tirade. But it really is true. If you take George Floyd's death and you strip it of any medical nuance, his death rapidly and astronomically represented or presented to the American people a confirmation of an old and a double slander. And that is that police routinely and wantonly kill black men. The media gave it a narrative. The activists gave it a mission. The mob gave it a fire. And it resulted in probably one of the most destructive periods of civil unrest in modern U.S. history. So let's just deal with some facts. And some facts that may make some people uncomfortable. But I just want to deal with the facts. The medical examiner for Hennepin County, Minnesota, which is where Minneapolis is located. The ME, the medical examiner for that county, Hennepin County, Dr. Andrew Baker, stated that the levels of fentanyl in Floyd's system were potentially fatal on their own. For example, had George Floyd been found dead at home with those levels, this is according to the testimony from the medical examiner, he would have ruled it an overdose. Even the medical examiner for the armed forces, who ultimately attributed Floyd's death to a combination of restraint, heart disease, and drug intoxication, did not point to asphyxiation alone as the cause of George Floyd's death. Dr. David Fowler, former Maryland chief medical examiner, he testified under oath that Floyd died of a sudden cardiac arrhythmia, compounded by fentanyl and meth. Now, the officer that we all saw kneeling, Derek Chauvin, became the canvas on which progressive America painted its moral furies. But for me, the medical record is stubborn. The medical record is inconvenient. The facts about policing also fail to support the narrative. Every year, cops in this country fatally shoot 1,000 people. 1,000. Maybe 25% are black. The vast majority of individuals that the cops shoot are armed or they pose an immediate threat. You know, we do on my local program every Friday, if you ever want to tune in and listen, every Friday at 9 o'clock Mountain Time, for an hour we do nothing but what are called taxpayer relief shots. They are stories about the defensive use of weapons to protect yourself. Either from a thug that's trying to break into your home, somebody that's engaged in road rage that's trying to run you off the road, someone that's trying to rob your business, or cops. Cops who are trying to talk somebody down, who are trying to serve a search warrant, or trying to enter into and break up a domestic fight. Those cops are usually facing someone that is armed and that poses an immediate threat. When you look at the FBI statistics, don't look at activist group tallies, but when you look at FBI statistics, it confirms that cops do fatally shoot about 1,000 people a year, and only about a quarter of those are blacks. Now, in stark contrast to the narrative of unprovoked cop aggression, do you know how many cops are assaulted every year in this country? About 60,000. 60,000. 60,000 are assaulted every single year. And between 50 and 70 are shot or killed in the line of duty every single year. Again, according to the FBI and the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund data. So the real disparate impact is not in fatal police shootings, but in the death toll of fentanyl overdoses. How disparate is the impact? 50,000 Americans die every year from fentanyl. Black Americans are nearly twice as likely as white Americans to be among those fatalities. So the popular refrain that police hunt down black men is not supported by any credible empirical analysis. But the problem is, oftentimes ideology hardens into dogma. Then any data becomes irrelevant. So from that single overdose was born an American mythology. The martyrdom of George Floyd ignited a revolutionary frenzy. Have you ever thought about what happened over the course of that long, hot summer? It really did change the country. More than 8,700 demonstrations took place across the country. Now, it may seem small when I give you the number, but out of 8,700 demonstrations, 574 turned into riots. That's according to data from the Major Cities Chiefs Association. And those 574 riots injured more than 2,000 law enforcement officers, caused billions in damages. We know that because there was at least $2 billion in insured property damage, highest in American history. Highest in American history. 25 Americans were killed in protest-linked violence. You remember, cities were burning. Police stations were attacked. They were abandoned. Federal courthouses were firebombed. Armed mobs seized territory in places like Seattle and declared those autonomous no-go zones. Now, you might have expected those events to be condemned, to be vociferously condemned. Instead, we found that they started to rationalize them. The press declared them, you know the phrase, mostly peaceful. CNN, among the worst. So how did this actually, this anniversary that occurred back on Sunday, how did it affect America? It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line is 33103, keyword Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. We'll be right back.
What if you could unlock over $1 million in personal and business credit? That's exactly what Ray Reynolds can do for you. I'm talking about protecting your family and building your business with $100,000 in personal or business cash credit. And Ray can help you rebuild your credit score to 750. Ray Reynolds isn't just any expert. He helped the security chief of TRW that became Experian, one of the most trusted credit bureaus. If you're looking to get your finances on track, Ray is the man you should call for a 750 credit score. Call Ray at 800-427-5991. 800-427-5991. Join his live webinars and attend his weekly workshops to learn the insider strategies for hitting your personal and business goals. Ready for a 750 credit score and your first $100,000 in credit? Call Ray Reynolds now at 800-427-5991. That's 800-427-5991.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Arturo Fuente Chateau Maduro, handmade in the Dominican Republic with a dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, giving us a rich, medium-bodied cigar with pleasant notes of coffee, vanilla, and sweet spiciness. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hey, so speaking with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. May 25, 2020. That day changed so many things in the country. And yet, it's one of those I'm talking about the death of George Floyd. And it's one of those topics that, it came up because the cabal on that day, last Sunday, several news reports that I watched went back to Minneapolis. And I remember, and I forget which, I think it was one of the networks. It may have been CBS that I was watching at the time. They were interviewing young to me, but he's probably in his mid-30s or 40s, black man, who owned a garage. And he normally would talk about, and I forget the numbers, so I'm paraphrasing here, but he had two cars in for repair. And now we're talking about 5 years later, and he still hasn't recovered. And his garage was one of the ones that was heavily damaged. I don't think it was completely destroyed, but heavily damaged. And he said, I would normally have a dozen cars in here. And I'm barely making enough money to keep the garage open. 5 years on from that fateful day. And as they were interviewing him, the sister, and by the way, this garage is located very close to that grocery store on that corner where George Floyd died. And the reporter, to my surprise, recognized George Floyd, a relative of George Floyd. I forget whether it was a sister or a cousin, but it was somebody in the immediate family, somebody that had received the millions of dollars that the taxpayers of Minnesota had paid out to the George Floyd family. And the reporter walked up to her and introduced her to this garage owner, and his emotions immediately overcame him. Because he talked about the tens of millions of dollars that you received that you said you were going to spend helping us rebuild our community. And none of us has seen any of that money. And again, to the reporter's credit, considering it was a network news show, really pressed her. Now, she acted surprised, like, oh, I'd never heard this, which I found completely unbelievable. But then they actually pressed her. So where did the money go? What happened to it? It was supposed to help me, you know, rebuild my, you know, rebuild everything, because these mostly peaceful protests virtually destroyed my business. The media, in what can only be described as a masterclass in euphemism, labeled that arson that almost completely destroyed his garage as simply activism. In fact, CNN famously ran that Chyron, I know you remember it, fiery but mostly peaceful protests as the reporter sat with the background of buildings burning on the screen. MSNBC insisted the riots were, quote, not generally speaking unruly. Even as, I shouldn't laugh, but even as the flaming rubble lit the background, it was Orwellian. They weren't just bad headlines. They were ideological lies, and they were designed to numb the public to the scale of what was taking place. I think the reason that I stopped as I was channel surfing was that, and this is the reason I believe it was CBS, because I happen to be at my undisclosed location in New Mexico, and we can only get, other than if we're streaming, we can only get the three networks. So I do believe it was probably CBS, the local CBS, well, the network CBS, being carried on the local affiliate. And I stopped because I really wanted to see what's this reporter going to do? Because it was a heart-wrenching story about how this young black man had lost his business, was doing everything he could to survive, and then, and I don't think it was planned. I think that George Floyd's relative was just passing by, and he recognized her because she apparently lives in the neighborhood. Where's the money? But that euphemism about a mostly peaceful protest really did serve a purpose. Because the George Floyd protests, that was the Marxist great leap forward. They were not engaging in civil disobedience. This was nothing in the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr. It was an insurrection in the tradition of the French Revolution is what was going on. The radicals saw their opportunity, and they seized that opportunity. They were, in their own words, trained Marxists. Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, the founders of Black Lives Matter, they openly admit that they were trained and believe in Marxism. Cullors had studied under Eric Mann, a former Weather Underground member, and she explicitly praised figures like Lenin and Mao as her intellectual lodestars. They were not hiding their radicalism. The media, just like they refused to report on the cognitive decline of Joe Biden, simply refused to report on the Marxist background of all the organizers that were burning down Minneapolis. The Black Lives Matter platform? Where do you think defund the cops came from? Defund the police? From BLM? The dissolution of prisons? The disruption of the nuclear family? Those aren't reform proposals. Those are revolutionary fantasies. But then what happened? Corporate America saw their opportunity. Well, let me rephrase that. Corporate America saw the extortion coming, and they leaped to beat the extortionists. I'll explain why next. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line 33103, keyword MicroMichael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. Fortune 500 companies capitulate.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
You heard the news. Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. If you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. This communication is for informational purposes only and shall not be intended to or shall not constitute any offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Reading, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Join us Father's Day weekend, June 14th and 15th. It's the perfect place to celebrate and treat Dad to fun, food, and family. Black Bear Diner also added four brand new and returning classics to the menu at 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high-demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding. Or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. Full-time students get 2 years tuition-free. Summer session begins June 9th. Click or call 242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curation, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, it's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you listening to the program. The text line number is 33103. Keyword is Mike or Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. So Sunday, May 25th, was the 5-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd and the mostly peaceful riots that occurred after that. The official platform of Black Lives Matter included defund the cops, the dissolution of prisons, and, of course, the complete disruption of the nuclear family. And those are revolutionary fantasies. That's truly, if you don't believe me, I mean, they say it in their own words, but if you don't believe me about Patricia Kaluers and Alicia Garza, the two founders of BLM, there's some great, you can probably find them on YouTube, but there are some great documentaries about the radicalization of the Black Lives Matter movement. You can learn about Marxism and communism and how it infected the civil rights movement through a couple of movies called Uncle Tom 1 and Uncle Tom 2. And I'd encourage you, you may still have to pay for those movies, I'm not sure. But it's a great objective history lesson about the influence of Marxism in the civil rights movement. And it's just that Patrice Kaluers and Alicia Garza took it to its logical conclusion. So their whole mission statement was a mission statement of revolution. And that's when Fortune 500 companies, having learned from the experience of Jesse Jackson and Reverend Sharpton, moved in and they sent millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter coffers. Remember celebrities kneeling? Politicians crying? Remember the mayor of Minneapolis leaning at the casket of George Floyd in what appeared to me to be crocodile tears, just wailing at the death of this person that he didn't know? Why was he kneeling and what were the crocodile tears about? It was more about the mostly peaceful protests. Remember Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer all dressed in the African garb, kneeling and pretending to pray or bow or do something? And in Minneapolis, the city council voted to dismantle the police force entirely? And then when they started thinking about it, crime spiked, murder soared, and then they quietly walked away from that idea. The only saving grace in that maelstrom was the greed and the malfeasance of Black Lives Matter's leadership. Because instead of taking their newfound wealth and using that to further destabilization of society, they just squandered millions of donated dollars on personal luxuries. They bought huge homes, cars, high-end amenities. The corruption blunted the movement of Black Lives Matter, turning what could have been maybe a prolonged cultural revolution into a farcical grift. And any revolution can't be complete unless you've got an abdication of law enforcement and an abdication of the prosecutors. So progressive district attorneys, often backed by George Soros's Justice and Public Safety PAC, they chose not to prosecute those rioters. But don't focus on Minneapolis. In Portland, There was a story I was going to do today, but I haven't gotten to it, of a video. Those of you who live in the Portland area, I forget the name of the mall. But there's a mall in which the parking garage is below, and you or at least ground level, and you walk up several flights of stairs. The stairwell looks like a third world country. Urine, feces, needles, clothes, abandoned clothes. As the people are filming it, talk about the smell of fresh and dried urine, human feces, graffiti everywhere. I mean, it looks like you're walking through a war zone. And then you just open up. You get to the entrance to the mall, and it's like you've gone from the third world to the first world. Portland, Oregon. More than 500 protest-related arrests were made. How many? More than 500 arrests. How many of those arrests led to charges? Less than 50. In New York, you had looting, assault charges that were dropped by both the Manhattan and the Brooklyn district attorneys. In Philly, Chicago, same thing. Here was the message those DAs were sending. The law is pliable. The law does not apply equally. Justice is not blind when the politics are correct. Now, you and I may not think the politics were correct, but those district attorneys did. And then you contrast that with the leniency. You contrast that leniency with the maximalist prosecutions of the January 6th defendants. One, riot, a national emergency. The other, oh, it's a summer of progress. The discrepancy is not in the law. The discrepancy is in the ideology. The state, the government, has a preferred mob. Oh, we like this mob. We don't like that mob. And when that mob burns your city, then you have to understand. You have to sympathize. You might even have to stand up and give a standing ovation. And all of that sprang from a single falsehood, that George Floyd was murdered because he was black. And then that lie got repeated so often that it calcified into some sort of truth. But the real cause of Floyd's death was far more plain and, truthfully, far more tragic. But no one wants to think about the tragedy. A lethal cocktail of fentanyl, heart disease, stress, really stupid and poor decisions. That is the story of tens of thousands of Americans who die quietly every year, unfilmed, uncanonized, who, as somebody on the text line said, had he died in his home, it had just been another evening news story about an overdose. I guess you could say that we were told that you must burn the village to save the village. We were told that justice required arson, that peace requires riots, that equity required the evisceration of law and order. What we witnessed 5 years ago and afterwards was not justice. It was a political seizure. And I think to this day, we remain scarred from it. I give you MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, Reverend Sharpton.
Got so much to get to, but Rev, I really want to hear your thoughts after spending earlier this week out in Houston commemorating the 5-year anniversary of George Floyd's tragic death. Obviously, a lot of things happened that summer. I'm wondering, where are we 5 years later? What was the general feeling, the general attitude inside of the church and other events talking about George Floyd and talking about where America's gone since then?
Well, the general feeling, of course, was being there with the family, and we literally went to the grave, was the reminding them of the pain. But then the feeling of how far people have tried to come backwards on what was committed. If you remember that time, 5 years ago, feels like 50, there was everyone saying we need to come with a reckoning of race and a reckoning of policing. And we saw things being offered like the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, consent decrees with cities like the city he was killed in, Minneapolis, and the city Breonna Taylor was killed in, Louisville. All of that being rescinded now.
No, not being rescinded. Facts are starting to finally rise up. Facts are finally being exposed. And that's where the nuance comes in. This is not in any way to justify any unlawful killing by law enforcement of anybody, regardless of their skin color. But instead, it's a moment to sit back and go, wait a minute, but what are the facts? What does the data show? I think that what we ought to learn is that the cabal will take one incident, particularly when you have a white or an Asian cop and a black victim, and they will amplify it. But when it's a cop shooting whites, just another day ending in Y. Nuance and facts. But that's not exact. That's not at all what either Joe Scarborough or Reverend Sharpton want to talk about.
And what I was saying all weekend at the churches and rallies we had is there's always a backlash. When you go forward, you go backwards. I mean, 2 months after the March on Washington in 63, when King made this great speech, I Have a Dream, a guy bombed a church in Birmingham. There's going to be backlash. We've got to keep going. And I think that we're at the stage now trying to hold on to whatever we can be sustained from what happened 5 years ago and move forward and not overreact to the fact that there's some temporary losses. We should expect that and move on and fight on, because what George Floyd represents, that I think will last and keep this country going on the right course if we're determined.
Well, there certainly are setbacks. And as you said, in the 1960s, there were setbacks and then, you know, one step back, two steps forward. And so, again, for those of us who do believe, the long arc of history bends towards justice. That doesn't mean it is a continuous line toward justice. It's a battle. And, you know, last week we had Mark Morial on, and he asked the question whether what happened 5 years ago was a moment or a movement. And only time will tell. And that's really, it's not up to these untold forces of history. That's up to the people.
And I think there is a long arc, not just of history, there's a long arc in which facts and truth are eventually revealed. Our responsibility is to understand the nuance in that truth. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text line is 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. We'll be right back.
No one wants to leave behind stress for their family. That's why a trust or a will is so important. Without one, your assets might go to the wrong people or leave out loved ones. Also, probate is long, expensive, and often avoidable with a revocable trust. TrustandWill.com makes it simple to create a personalized estate plan. A trust or will provides clarity and peace of mind. Get 20% off on your estate plan documents by visiting TrustandWill.com/radio.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. Don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., tribal chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Spring has sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel-dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Helicopter rides, airplane rides, classic cars, and aircraft displays. It's all happening this Father's Day. Aviation Day, Sunday, June 15th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Benton Airfield in West Reading. Admission is free and parking is free. Sponsored by the Reading EAA. Come for a great breakfast. Put on by the Mount Shasta 99s from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Adults are $10. Kids from 5 to 12, $5. Kids under 5 are free. Aviation Day, 2025, Father's Day, Benton Airfield.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
You have a choice when it comes to your cancer care, and I want you to know that at Valor Oncology, we are here to provide the best possible care right here in Reading. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, Valor's breast oncology surgeon, and I'm proud to serve this community that I call home. When you come to Valor Oncology, you'll see the same dedicated team at every visit, physicians who know your history and are committed to your care. We offer state-of-the-art technology that rivals major cancer centers, combined with the personalized care you deserve. We are not just a team of doctors. We are part of the fabric of this community, and we are here for you today and tomorrow. When it comes to your health, you deserve expert care, compassion, and stability. Ask your doctor to refer you to Valor Oncology because we're committed to you and we're committed to Reading. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you.
And this shows how he is willing to push the envelope, but maybe not push the envelope in the way that you would expect. Because I think what he's doing, he's setting the scene for a huge showdown for the 2028 Olympics that are going to be held, of all places, in Los Angeles, where the current governor, Gavin Newsom, so badly wants to be president, he's about to pee his pants. So this past Tuesday, the president cited a transition male athlete who had won everything as he warned Governor Newsom that he would cut off funds if his executive order, Trump's executive order, that's aimed at protecting women's sports, wasn't implemented. But in trying to make the state comply with his directive, he's also applying pressure to the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, which just this past week signaled it would sidestep the order. Now, I don't know about you. I, over the years, I've kind of lost interest in the Olympics. I don't know why. I just have. Portions of it, if there's something really unique going on, you know, like a hockey game between the Russia and the U.S., I might watch that. Or, you know, but problem is, so many professional athletes get involved in that, it kind of takes away some of the fun of it. But at the first board meeting this year, the CEO of the Olympics tried to completely wash her hands of the matter. She said that the international federations would decide if trans athletes could represent their countries. What do you think if we went back, 100 years, and ask, hey, do you think we ought to let men who think they're women compete in women's sports? Because interestingly, the Olympics still divides, you know, you've got men figure skating, you've got women's figure skating. We're going to allow someone who just thinks they're a woman go over and compete in that? Today, the majority of Olympic pipeline competition really happens outside the reach of Title IX. which obviously prohibits discrimination for any federally funded programs. More dollars are now spent in the private youth sports market in this country than all the professional sports combined. Analysts estimate that it's in the billions of dollars. So any athlete competing and training for a private club within the Olympic movement remains outside Title IX protections. Those, again, just dealing in facts, those are the facts. I don't think Title IX applies to the Olympics. So Trump's executive order doesn't have any real direct impact, but it has a huge impact politically. Because when you think of the Olympics, you think of purity, you think of, you know, male athletes, female athletes, all competing at the highest level in their particular sport. And now you're going to throw in this stupid thing that we're doing here in this country, allowing people who think men who think they're women or women who think they're men compete in those other sports, which is filtering all the way down into public schools, high school athletics, and now we're going to push that onto the USOC, to the US Olympic Committee, and for that matter, the IOC too. And all in a state governed by a potential Democrat nominee for president in 2028, Gavin Newsom. So the truth is this. The governing bodies are choosing corporate sponsorships and institutional image over the safety and the dignity of female athletes. Why? Because they're afraid of losing money from those woke companies. So they're going to refuse, just like they do in this country, they're going to refuse to take a stand for women. Apparently to them, protecting your reputation among the woke crowd is more important than actually protecting the athletes. They're doing the competition. And for the first time ever, flag football is going to be an Olympic sport. And the NFL owners just voted to allow NFL players to participate in the 28 games. Now, that's really big news for the NFL players because the International Federation of American Football will let them play as women. First, now I know it's flag football, but there are the inevitable crashes. There are the inevitable crashes between bodies. How's that going to look? What's that going to look like? I think Trump's being brilliant in this regard. And he's putting, of all people, Gavin Newsom in a really tough spot. So we'll see. Watch it. Congress, you ought to act now. You ought to act right now and do something about it. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you next Saturday.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Losing your family's home movies and photos would be devastating. That's why Legacy Box exists, to preserve your family's recorded moments digitally, ensuring they're safe forever. Think of the time and money your family invested to capture family vacations, birthdays, even your wedding. Recording a lifetime of memories was a commitment. Camcorders cost thousands, and cameras required film and development. Legacy Box is the final step to preserve your family's past. Thankfully, it doesn't require another big investment. Legacy Box is safe, simple, and affordable. Over 1 million families have trusted Legacy Box to convert their analog media to digital. You owe it to your family to safeguard your memories. Become your family's hero and save them before it's too late. For a limited time, Legacy Box is offering an exclusive discount when you go to legacybox.com/audio. That's legacybox.com/audio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.